or what did he do? He gave his only begotten Son to be the sin bearer for us, right? So that no one would perish but have everlasting life, whoever believes on him. And his intention was so that the world through him might be saved, right? That was the point. It wasn't to condemn people. If you're a hardcore Calvinist, and I'm saying more than maybe you care to even know, but a hardcore Calvinist says that Jesus coming condemned people. Okay, that it condemned some to life, some to death. Now, I understand maybe where they get that, but it's not because God chose that, as I understand it, because of John 3:17, among other things. But if verse 18 says our decision is we need to believe. Whoever believes is not condemned. Whoever believes not is condemned already. What do you have to do to be condemned? Nothing. You're already there. You have to do absolutely nothing. And you can pick any person you want, and you can say, you might not be able to evaluate where they're at, but you can say they're one of two. They're either under condemnation yet, or they're not under condemnation, and it's only because of what they believed in as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. Now, let me ask you this as we get started in this second session here. Why would anyone stay here? You ever think about that? Why would anyone stay in the condemned pile? If God has done what He desires to do through Jesus, gave His only begotten Son, which we haven't talked about all that meaning and all, but He gave His Son, and the Son came to die so that you and I would be saved and not condemned, why would anybody stay in the condemned pile? Question number two. We probably all know people that claim the name of Christ, but do not walk with Him. I believe the passage that we're getting into, verses 19, 20, and 21 of John, which John 3, if you would turn there, I'll read those for you so that you can get a semblance of where we're at. But I believe this is kind of steps back and looks at a bigger picture. It isn't just unsaved people, though it answers that question, but it's also maybe saved people. Why aren't they availing themselves of the Word of God? Why don't they attend church anymore? Why don't they walk with God? Let's read verses 19, 20, and 21. And this is kind of a little harder to swallow. But God tells us the way it is. Okay, verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation. It's like, I thought there wasn't condemnation. Well, there is, right? If you don't believe, you're still condemned. But where does the condemnation come from? What does it result in? Is it something God chooses ultimately? And the Bible seems to indicate no matter how you see the foreknowledge and the election of God, it's man's responsibility. Okay? This is the condemnation, and here we come to the light. Remember we were talking about light? Isn't that why we were here today? I had to tell you the first three verses so I could tell you the second three verses. This is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world. There's the world again. Who's the world? The entire human race. And men, it uses men instead of world now, and it's the word human. It's talking about humanity. Men loved what? Darkness rather than light. Why? You read it. Yeah, verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Oh. And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. All right? Let's chew on this now with your notes. Condemnation. I have it in your notes. Number one, condemnation. Why are people, and we said we'd give you this hour, so you didn't have to write it down, but what does condemnation mean? Jim gave us something along the lines of, why are people under judgment? No E, right, Mary? I pointed that out. Don't ask me why, but American English, we dropped the E. Why are people under judgment? If you are condemned, you are under judgment. You are just awaiting your punishment. What do you have to do? Nothing. I'm guilty and I deserve to be punished. I'm awaiting to be punished. Punished. Coffee's obviously not strong enough or something. But I'm awaiting punishment. That's all that's left. I'm under condemnation, the Bible says, if I'm this. Condemnation. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. Is it an issue? Listen to me now. Is it an issue of a lack of information? Because the light has come into the world. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. In Romans chapter, that's Psalm 19 and Psalm 14. Romans 1 says that what you can see from creation shows evident, it's self-evident that there's a God and He's very powerful, so that people who reject God are without excuse because it's that obvious. So you don't even need a Bible to know there's a God. It's like a duh moment, okay? It's like, of course there's a God. All right? So they're without excuse. The light is coming to the world. And even to some degree or another, the Bible says, goes on and says in Romans chapter 2, that God has put His what's commandments in our heart. Isn't it interesting? You talk to people that are doing something wrong, and they say, well, that's because you have your idea. I don't believe that that's wrong. Okay, let's use immorality. Okay, two people living together, they're cheating on their mates. Okay, get the picture? It's wrong to do that, but in their mind they said, it's not wrong. That's your record, not ours. And I say, okay, now, if you say that's wrong, then would it be okay for the person you're with right now to cheat on you? And then, well, no. And it's like, stop a minute. It's written in your heart. There's something that seems fair and unfair. Now, maybe that's bent. Our conscience can be bent by our experiences. You grow up in a dope-smoking family. Dope isn't a big deal to you until you realize that it's illegal and wrong and it's harmful and all that, okay? You know what I'm saying? So your conscience can be tempered wrongly or rightly. This is what is to temper our conscience, the Word of God, okay? But the idea is we have the rule of God in our hearts to some degree or another. There is an intrinsic morality built in. So there's that. There's creation. There's the innate morality that God has put in, that we know when someone steals something from us that it's wrong, that that's not fair. Okay? Even though they might have never read the Bible or put two to two together. Okay? But there's also the Word of God. And the Bible says that the light has come into the world. There's the revelation of God and it is available. Now, I can't totally tell you that every person has had access to the revelation of God in a written form, because that's not been the case. But God holds them accountable, because it's obvious there's a God and there's an obvious moral base. Okay? But light is coming to the world, and guess what? Yeah. Let's write that down here. Men love, they reject it. Men love darkness. Why? And notice this. Rather than what? Life. Life. It should be light, right? We talked about life too. This is all connected. Men love darkness rather than light. And it's interesting, but it's the same word love that God used for the world. God so loved the world. He so focused his attention on the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. Here's the truth. We'll see that light is can be equated to truth pretty soon. Light has come into the world and men reject it. They loved darkness rather than light. Why? Yeah. Their deeds are evil. Do you understand that not everybody is interested in God? And that core reason is that they don't want God. Why? Because the Bible says their deeds are evil. They do not want to hear the Word of God, because what does that do? It shows them where they really are. Now, that is true of unsaved people. Who are you to tell me that I'm not good? I'm nobody, right? But God clearly states in His Word, there's none righteous, no, not one. Whether you wear a tie or not. Right? Kind of idea. Whether you're at the top of the economic ladder or the bottom of the economic ladder. And by the way, people are in the condemned pile from both. Because they all, both, everyone in that pile says, I don't need that. I reject that. And the bottom line is, because their deeds are evil, they do not want the truth. They reject the only thing that is their only hope because their deeds are evil. Did you hear about God in any of that? Is it God's fault? Whose fault is it? I understand this, and I'm kind of jumping to the end, so to speak, a little bit. But no one will be at the great white throne judgment and cast into the lake of fire and say, it's your fault, not mine. God say, hey, I gave you everything you needed. And you rejected it. You did not want the truth because of what you were doing. You did not want that. And so you remain condemned. You didn't want to find out that your deeds are wrong, and so you just didn't say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it. Right? Men love darkness. They loved darkness. Now the word love, again, is it's like you focus your attention on it. It's an action, not a feeling so much. It's like they embrace it. They want darkness. Don't tell me the truth. I don't want to hear it. And folks, if you're walking with God, there'll be people that do not want to spend time with you because their deeds are evil. And it brings that, we'll use the word in a little bit, conviction on them. They don't want to spend time with you. Just for you being there. It's true of unsaved people, and it's true of saved people. I think the biggest issue of people that don't come to church and they claim to be saved, and I'm assuming that they are, though some may not be, is because their deeds are evil. They don't want to be honest with their life. Because guess what? The Word of God is a mirror, right? It shows you what you are. And it's harsh at times, but it reveals all of those things inside you and your actions and your attitudes for what they really are. And folks, sin is like a cancer, right? And so God's not doing it just saying, you know, come here, I want to give you a list so I can show you how terrible you are. No, God's saying, let me purge this from you because it's terrible for you and everyone around you. Okay? Why do people stay there? Believers, unbelievers, they stay away from the Word of God because their deeds are evil. Bottom line is, God says it's not God. Don't blame it on somebody else. Don't blame it on him or her that offended you or whatever. By the way, God would say there's probably a pride issue there on your part, right? The offense is something you have to pick up, really. Don't blame the hypocrites in the church. The church, if people were perfect, we wouldn't need the church, right? Get that? Okay, and we're not being hypocritical. We're just imperfect. God is still working on us, right? So, and as soon as you get perfect, stop coming because you'll be infected by the rest of us, right? But no, don't stop coming because you won't ever get there, right? You need one another. We need each other. But that's the idea. Believers stay away because they've chosen the path of sin and don't want their works evaluated by the Word of God. And they can use any excuse they want to, but the bottom line is it's their own sin. The bottom line is the reason why believers don't go to church is their own sin. They don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear it. And I say that because it's true, not because I like saying it. Right? I'd like to blame other people for family members that I have that don't go to church. Okay, but it's not other people. Bottom line, it's what? Deeds are evil, right? Bottom line, they don't want to hear it. Okay? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, we had two groups, right? We had the condemned and they're not condemned. The condemned because, unbelief, nothing. They're already condemned, right? Not condemned because they believe. Got that? Here's another two groups, okay? Now, this one doesn't look at belief, interestingly enough. I think it's connected to belief, but I think, like I said, it steps back one, and it's kind of looking at saved and unsaved people that reject the truth. If that makes sense. Verses 19, 20, and 21 seem to be stepping back and looking at it in a broader perspective, okay? All right? Hang with me here. But there's two categories of deed doers. Are you saved by your works? Help me out. And we already talked about it. He that believes in him is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already because he's not believed, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Over and over again, okay? But to him it does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. To him his faith is accounted for righteousness. Romans 4:5. It's his belief is accounted for righteousness. It's not an issue there. But then this one turns, and this is why I say this. It's kind of looking, stepping back and saying, now I'm looking at deeds. And are there believers that live in a bad path? I believe there are. I also believe some maybe that weren't saved to start with, you know, that claimed to be but weren't. And that's not mine to judge. Bottom line, if they believe, they're saved. Okay? Just because you say you believe doesn't mean you believe either, you know, so kind of thing. But that just because someone does something bad or lives in a bad lifestyle, some people would argue they've never been saved. I would say that the Bible doesn't say that. But I'm saying they're miserable and they're living in a way that they will regret. Okay, and probably do to some degree or another. But there's two groups right here. Okay? What verse are we on? 20? 19? Let's see. For everyone, here's the first group. It kind of goes on to explain now that practices evil. Now, it's interesting because this, it uses evil works. You have works as we get ergonomics from. It's just actions or works, ergo, okay? And this is erga, it's plural. And they use poor, pornea. It's evil or wicked. We get pornography from that. Evil works, okay, is known because their works are evil. It's the evil works. The works is kind of the way it says it here. So it's evil works. That's what it says in verse 19. In verse 20, this is interesting, but practices evil here It uses a different word. I don't have the full explanation, but it means that which is worthless. Okay? It's just a different word. But the bottom line is, it's still the same. Let me ask you this. How beneficial is sin? You know, it has no beneficial value. Bottom line, when you get down to it, is there pleasure in sin for a season? Yes, and then you die in your sin. Okay, but there's no long-lasting, permanent value. It's worthlessness. Okay? Maybe it's tied in with the idea of in Ephesians where it says, be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is... Yeah, I can't remember what the King James said.
Excess.
Wherein is excess. The New King James clarified and said dissipation. I'm like, what? But the word means aimlessness. Like pointless living. Huh? Without any purpose, because you're missing the purpose. If any sin, if you follow it logically, is ridiculous. Sin entraps, sin kills, sin destroys. Sin hurts, sin crumbles, sin tears. And in the end result, group number one, those that practice evil. Look at verse 20. For everyone practicing evil, and it uses the word practicing too, which is interesting. It's an ongoing lifestyle. What can you say about these people? The Bible says a couple things here, and I guess I have them down in your notes here. But they hate the light. Notice this. If you are practicing evil, it's funny that you're not really interested in your Bible. They hate... they hate the light. They hate the light. The word, and it's the word hate. Now, you don't have to feel strong feelings when you hate, biblically speaking, just like love. You don't have to have any feeling for somebody to care for them. Okay? The same way with hate. What do you have to do to hate your Bible? You just ignore it. Hate is at that level. They hate the light. They ignore the light. They don't feed themselves in any way, shape, or form with the Word of God. I think we need to be reading the Word of God, but there's other ways. You can listen to the Word of God. You can listen to teaching and all that. That gets dangerous, though, I think, potentially. But you have to be in the Word of God. People hate the Word of God. And it's not like, the Word of God. It's like, no, it's sitting kindly on my shelf. I have the Bible right there. See, it's over there. It's kind of dusty, but yeah, it's in between, you know, the TV guide and the whatever. Okay? It's there. You don't have to have some kind of impassioned hatred for the Bible. That's not what it's talking about here. Oh, and you know, and I go to church, but I'm busy this week. I got stuff going on. You know? We joke about, you know, reruns of Gilligan's Island or something, you know, whatever. Or something else. And you can list anything you want as far as activities that people have gone to today or will go to today. Whatever they are. Because if I list something, you'll think I'm picking on that. But list anything you want. It could be sleeping, right? It could be sports. It could be, I like genealogy. Okay? It could be eating. You know, when are the best breakfast buffets? Sunday morning, right? And they always have the brunch thing on Sunday. Why not Saturday? Well, because people sleep in on Sunday and then they go get the big brunch, you know, kind of thing. Whatever the case might be, and none of those are necessarily bad in and of themselves, but they're all, what? Worthless. The Bible says we're here for the Creator. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here to entertain ourselves or, what's the word I'm looking for? to actual self-actualization, okay, kind of thing. We're here for God. You know, that's the whole prayer thing. It's like, you know, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's like, okay, where's me in there? Wait, it's not there. That sounds like we're supposed to be focused on God. Ding, 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 ding. All right? It misses the point altogether. They hate the light, and notice what they don't do. They do not come to the light. Do not. Why? It says it again here. Lest his deeds should be exposed. The bottom line is what? Deeds. Works. It's the same word for works again. Lest the deeds should be exposed. Now, I looked up exposed. It's like almost every other time it's translated, you want to guess? It's like, no, Kevin, I don't. Convicted. The problem is it's in a passive form. They will be convicted. They will be reproved. They will be rebuked. It's not just exposed. It's exposure with the idea of revealing that this is wrong. Okay, it isn't, oh, you saw me making a pot on my pottery wheel. I don't have a pottery wheel. But I'm saying it's not something generic like that. It's being caught in the act, so to speak, or being exposed as doing something that you know is obviously wrong. Okay? It's convicted. Jesus said in John 15 or whatever, I'll send you another comforter. He will convict you of sin. Same word. It isn't just exposed. It's not like, you know, opening up a book and saying, ta-da, you know, here's the picture. It's not exposing. It's rebuking that his works will not be rebuked. It's the intent of that it'll be shown through the negative thing, and it'll show that they are in the wrong, and therefore they hate the light, and they do not come to the light because they do not want their works to be shown for what they are. And it's God's fault because... Wait, it's not God's fault at all, is it? Because He tells you He shows you the light. Why? So you can know the truth. So you can walk in the truth, so you can avoid error, so you can avoid the pain and destruction that sin brings that was so bad that he had to give his son to die to get rid of it. All right? Now what's the other group? Now this is interesting. They practice evil. The other group, verse 21, is those that, what? Yeah, I'm going to put it in plural, but it's he that does the truth or those that do the... They do the truth. That's a good way to kind of summarize what a Christian is all about, right? What you're aiming to do is you're aiming not to be the right person, you know, as opposed to... No, your goal is to do the truth. Walk in... I think John said it again in 1 John. He said, walk in the, what? Yeah. As he is in the, yeah. Those that do the truth, those that practice evil, and those that do the truth. What would be this evil then? If you had to contrast the two, put this as something else. What would, if this is truth, what would this be? Yeah. Untruth, lies, falsehood. Okay, do you understand? It's not just somebody saying it. They're on the wrong course. They're driving on the wrong side of the road, or the wrong way. Okay? It's not neutral. It's not generic. They're going the wrong way. At their own hazard. And by the way, folks, when you're living in sin, you drag other people with you. Those that do the truth. Verse 21, but he who does the truth, what's he do? Two things here. Now, two things. Actually, one thing. What's he do? Comes to the truth. He keeps coming to the truth. He comes to the light. Why? Yeah, he wants to measure his works, right? That his deeds may be seen. Huh? Is there anything that you don't want people to know about you? Do you see an issue with that now? I'm not saying that everything, I don't need to know your social security number, you know, kind of thing. But I'm saying if there are attitudes and actions in your life that you don't want other people to know, you might want to head back to the light. Because the goal is the light will purge darkness. We talked about that last week. You turn the light on and the darkness disappears. Light is superior to darkness. Okay? And notice that their deeds have been done in God. So walking in the truth relates to doing it the way God wants. And it ties in well. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, us and God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's an ongoing cleansing process that comes by being at the light. Okay? Why do people stay here? Help me out. Because God foreordained them to stand here? It sounds like to me it's their own choice. It's like, God, I don't really want to talk about it. I'm not really interested in what you and your followers have to say. You know, I'm going to put a bumper sticker on my car saying, God, protect me from your followers. Whatever the case might be. And again, there's been some followers that we probably need protected from. But the whole idea is they don't want to hear. Or believers that have been on the path, and then now they're not in the Word, they're not with God's people hearing the Word and being encouraged, which the Bible says we absolutely need, or we'll be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay? They don't want that, they don't want the truth, because it's like, then I have to admit that what I'm doing is wrong and I want to do what I'm doing. I think 1 John ties in well again. If we say that we have not, we make God a liar. 1 John 1:10 says that. Let me read it to you, all right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. That's 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:10, if we don't confess it, by the way, confess says, God sheds light on it, and it says, oh, it's wrong. I confess it. God, that's wrong. I flee from that. I take a different path. God says He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Isn't that what we're talking about? Isn't that exactly what we're talking about here? So if God says it's sin and we say it's not sin, we're saying, God, you're a liar and you don't happen to know what you're talking about. Is it true or not? Are you walking in the truth? Are you walking in the light? Or is there sin in your life that's keeping you from either the Savior, if you're not saved, or walking with the Savior if you are? Folks, there's nothing to be gained by living in sin. There's nothing. And there's certainly nothing to be gained by staying in the condemned pile. And God has done everything. And if you stay there, God says it's because you have chosen to do so. And you've rejected His light. And the Bible doesn't mince words. It says, because your deeds are evil. There's something there that you do not want to give up. And I challenge you today, in the strongest way possible, if you have that in your life, God so desires to walk with you. But He cannot walk with you while you're walking in sin. And let me tell you this, it might seem costly right now to give something up, but let me tell you this, if you stay in your sin, you will have an eternity of regret. If you walk with God, you'll have an eternity without regret. you will not sit back and say, I wish I hadn't walked with God. It'll never, ever happen. Questions or comments? Go ahead, Jenny. Romans 4, 5. That's probably the favorite verse that I have. He that believes on... But to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. Is that what you're talking about?
The one where you said that it's obvious.
Oh, Romans chapter 1. Let me turn to you. I can't give you the exact verse, but I will here shortly. That's Romans chapter 1. It starts in verse 18. Let me just read it for you here. But it goes to verse 20. Verse 20 is what you're looking for. But it says, for the wrath of God, and by the way, wrath of God is another way to say you're under the judgment of God. Okay? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. How about this? They suppress the light. Makes sense, right? Either one. Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It isn't because they don't know. It's because they don't want it. Okay? Romans 1 says the same thing. Verse 19, because what may be known of God, this is verse 19 as well, Jenny, is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Okay? They understand there's a God. Every evolutionist is not being honest, I believe. Okay? With himself or herself. They are not being honest. Because there's something inside of them that says there's a God. And then verse 20, for since the creation of the world, my kids are thinking, my dad's that old. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Clearly seen, they are evident, they're obvious. So, the invisible attributes of God, how do you describe the fact that he exists? You can't. How do you describe the fact that he's powerful? You can't. But you can see the results of both without argument. And so if you say there's no God, then you kind of come up with these absurd ideas that the everything came in by randomness from nothing or some, you know, and then they keep having to just say more and more time. And it's the absurd, but the only thing they have left if they reject God is the absurd. And we've looked at stuff, you couldn't even come up with galaxies. What, light years of, if a galaxy came into existence every second, you still couldn't come up with what we have. It's just mathematically ridiculous. And yet, I don't want God, so therefore that's what I have to believe in. But they're without excuse, the Bible says. Other questions? Yes, Paula. Yeah, why live for God? If you're in, why do anything? Well, I think I wrote this down one time. I didn't do it for church, but I wrote this down. You know, I think I came up with like 25 reasons. But a couple are this. What, number one, you're commanded to do that. So if at the very least, you're disobeying God. Okay? He has clearly indicated that he wants you to walk with him. You know, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're supposed to walk with God. It over and over the Bible says that. Titus 3, people should work hard to do good works. Let your light so shine before... another reason is that you will keep people from believing in God because of your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation. As I understand the day of visitation, it's when God pulls their heart or whatever. All right, it's only used like 3 times in the Bible. But the idea is like, hey, you don't want to go up to someone's door and say, well, yeah, hey, this is what the Bible says. No, it says, I'd like to believe, but he's a believer. That's what he says. And if he's that, I don't want to be that. So it prevents people from believing. Okay, it gives them reasons not to believe. It also pulls other people down. You influence other people by your disbelief and disobedience. So you influence people. So it isn't just you. No man is an island. No man is a spiritual island either. You're keeping people from being encouraged in the church. You're drawing people away by your indifference or disobedience. And those probably go together, not separately. So you're influencing. It isn't just you. You're keeping other people from walking with God and in doing that, becoming more like you, okay, instead of more like God. And then God says at times he'll punish us. In my life, I say that it's hard to interpret that, because just because someone gets hurt or sick doesn't mean that God's punishing them. Right, but who am I to know for sure? I don't. Also, what God rewards, to get back to the rewards, is something that lasts forever. And God will judge every work, whether good or bad, the Bible says. Are you prepared to have every action evaluated by God? Because he will do that. Everything done in the body, both good and bad, it says in, I think, 2 Corinthians 5. And then it would just be like, if you're not wanting to obey God, are you sure you're saved? I'm not saying that that's a measure of salvation, but how do you know you're saved then? Because you claim to believe in a God that you won't believe in on a daily basis. Right? You're not willing to believe him. I guess I could at least make an argument for belief as evidenced by obedience. It's not guaranteed, but it's evidenced by obedience. So there's some. I think I came up with 25, so maybe I'll look that up. But there's tons of reasons to live for God. But a lot of it too, one of my big motivations, I mean, it's not the only motivation, I understand, but I'm a father. What I do will impact my kids, my grandkids, and all of that. And it impacts you, right? Everybody here. So it's like that's motivation. It's like even if the sin pull is strong, I don't want my kids to be influenced by my yielding to that sin. That's a huge thing. Because sin brings pain. Sin brings suffering. And even if they don't feel like they're bringing... It's amazing. You read your Bible and the Old Testament, people are just oblivious. They don't care about God. And guess what? The Bible says they're deceived. They're offering their children as burnt sacrifices. I mean, walking with God keeps you from being deceived and doing the ridiculous. And a lot of people do that. They live and they're living like the devil and for the devil, and they think they're free. They're not. The Bible says you're either serving sin or serving righteousness, God. Romans 6 says that. That's your two choices. So they're not free. They're either slaves of sin or slaves to God. And Romans 6 says it assumes that you'll be yielding your members as instruments of unrighteousness because it's appealing to us to do the opposite. The natural thing is to live for yourself and live for sin. So all of those things, I don't see any advantage to not walking with God. And people think that everything's cool because they're doing it on their own. They're not. If they are not in light, they are in what? What is good about that? They absolutely cannot discern and make even the simple choices because everything's based upon this. It'll all be based upon falsehood, lies, darkness. So, a few anyway. There's a few there. But it isn't just a life. And someone might say, there's no more tears or crying. But let me ask you this. If the Bible says that you get rewarded for your works, and some will be saved yet so as by fire, will that not be evident for eternity? And even though you're blessed of God to be part of His family, you're a plebe in heaven, so to speak, the new earth, and you, for the rest of eternity, even though you are praising God and all of that, you understand that there were things that were lost by you because of your failure to obey God. Because of there's a rank structure in heaven. So I'll give some of, cities 20, 10 or whatever. You're saved yet, so as by fire. Others will say, why would God say you do this? You live in the midst of trials and tribulations and I will give you the crown of life if it didn't make a difference in heaven. Position of honor as opposed to a lack of a position of honor and all that. Again, rewards come from actions. Salvation comes from birth. It's not the same. But I believe that there'll be an eternity of difference that those that walk with God will experience, that those that did not, that were saved yet, so as by fire. Righteous Lot vexed his soul from day to day. He won't have the rewards that other people have. And it's for all eternity. And again, I was like, what's not to like about walking with God and what's the benefit of not walking with God? If you're in darkness, you can't even tell. You're self-deceived at that point. Very good question. Anything else? It's like, Kevin, it's... Isn't the Word of God wonderful? Isn't it just awesome? And it's not easy because, frankly, I don't necessarily like God telling me that if today I don't really feel like the Word of God, it's a me problem, not a God problem. But isn't it good that He tells us that anyway? I think that's great. I think it's fantastic. And it's a warning, too. Hey, just keep walking with God. Makes all the difference.